The first reading this evening is taken from Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 to 15. Chapter 3, Genesis, verses 8 to 15, and it's on page 5 of the Pew Bibles, or page 7 of the large print Bibles. Genesis 3, verses 8 to 15. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Galatians 4, verses 1 to 7. And you'll find it on page 1170 of the Pew Bibles, or 2058 on the large print Bibles. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And this is the word of the Lord.
I wonder if you've ever received an inheritance from an ancestor. Perhaps a sum of money, a property, or a special family memento, something that maybe doesn't have any great value at all. If not, perhaps you know someone who has. My mum enjoys watching the programme called Air Hunters. Do any of you see Air Hunters? It's on in the morning, some mornings. And in this programme, research companies obtain details of estates which have been left dormant because their owner has died without leaving a will. And the researchers try to identify heirs who may rightfully inherit the money or property. If no one is traced, the inheritance passes back to the government and into the coffers of the Treasury. Naturally, the researchers want to concentrate on valuable estates and wish to identify very quickly the right heirs. At the end of the process, they receive a fee, a proportion of the estate, for their services. Often these heirs who are identified have little or no knowledge of the family member who has died, or there's been no contact with them for many years. The heirs are delighted with the unexpected money they receive and are often very pleased to be reunited or introduced for the first time to other heirs or family members. Occasionally, heirs to an estate are children who are not able to actually realise their inheritance until they come of age. In the intervening period, an adult or a group of adults act as trustees, taking care of the estate on behalf of the child. The two Bible readings which Graham has read to us this evening concern the inheritance which human beings deserve and the inheritance that we receive in Christ. The verses from Genesis chapter 3 narrate part of the story about the people whom God had made in his own image and how they disobeyed him and ate the forbidden fruit. This led to Adam and Eve's shattered innocence and caused them to hide from God in the garden, in which they should have felt loved and secure. Adam blamed his wife for giving him the fruit. Eve blamed the snake, representing Satan or evil. And the snake was cursed by God. But not only the snake. Adam and Eve were separated from God and banished from the garden. They had to live under a curse too. But God never stopped loving his people and wanting them to live in a close relationship with him. He made a number of covenants or promises with them in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and later gave them the law through Moses. The law, which was intended to be a good and helpful guide, became twisted into being a burden and a cause for slavery. Those living under the law could never keep all its requirements and were therefore left frustrated. So God sent his own son, Jesus, who was fully God and fully human, to release us from the slavery to the law and to sin, and to bring us into a right relationship with God as his children. This is what the reading we heard from Galatians is all about. The Christians in Asia, to whom Paul was writing, described as the Galatians, were in need of a reminder about the inheritance they had received. Some were not living as if they were heirs to God's kingdom, but were still living as if enslaved to the law, sometimes under the influence of those who wanted them to adhere to Jewish rituals. Others were slaves to what the reading calls elemental spiritual forces, which could mean the kind of religious teaching that could be found in a wide range of religions. Or it could mean attractions to demonic powers. They were living as children who had not yet received their inheritance. They were not living as heirs to God's promises in Jesus. Paul reminded the Galatians that God had taken the initiative to redeem them from slavery to whatever was not of him, and to give them their full inheritance as his children, so that they could live in freedom. This inheritance and freedom would enable them to approach their heavenly Father in prayer, calling him intimately, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic name for daddy, so it was the kind of term that a real child would use in addressing his or her father. Abba, Father, was probably a simple prayer used at baptism in the early church, indicating the new relationship which the Christian had with God. That inheritance of freedom and a wonderful relationship with our Heavenly Father are open to us too. When we put our faith and trust in God through his Son Jesus, we too gain perfect freedom from whatever has bound us in the past, whether it's false religion, slavery to habit, or relying on ourselves. We can be free from struggles over status before God, from enslaving preoccupation with our own worthiness, and we can be free to gain full maturity as an heir of God's promises. The inheritance we receive in Christ is not the kind that brings heavy inheritance tax with it. The tax, as it were, has already been paid by Jesus on the cross. The inheritance will bring responsibilities to serve God, to serve our fellow Christians, and to serve the wider world. But again, we're not expected to accomplish this in our own strength. The Holy Spirit enables us to serve and to receive our inheritance to the full. Let us remember that we too are able to come to God in prayer, calling him Abba, Father, and live not on our own merits, but in God's grace and generosity. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, that we come to you in prayer because you are our Father who knows everything on our hearts. You have enabled us to become your heirs through the redeeming work of Jesus and enabled us to approach you through the work of your Spirit. Please help us to live as heirs and not as slaves, and strengthen us as we serve you and serve one another. In Jesus' name, Amen.